now and then we experience a communal jolt. We, meaning the very few passengers on the train traveling in the same carriage on the way to somewhere. The carriage lurches and someone looks up. I stretch my neck a little in the hope of finding a more comfortable position in the squeaky seat. The seats seem to be specifically crafted to stop you from falling asleep. Perhaps that is the whole idea. When I travel by train, I always look out the window, which always leads to a stiff neck, but I simply cannot help myself. Rain drizzles down lightly across the open countryside, like a slow, languorous kiss. I can see how the really heavy rains hide in the clouds above. A downpour in waiting. The clouds darken into near bluish black as they wait to open the floodgates and set the deluge free over our heads as we sit here encapsulated in this padded giant of steel. I want to bathe in this rain, take off my clothes, and lie there as the heavens open. Bring it on. Let it fall upon my body. The carriage lurches again on its black track, and now it is my turn to look up. My eyes are drawn to a woman traveling backwards, thus facing the other side of the aisle. She's reading a newspaper. You know, the crisp type, that really rustles, and she is drinking something out of a paper cup. For a few seconds, I study her fingers holding the cup, before I spot the little string and a label of a tea bag hanging over the rim. I can't see what type of tea it is. She's too many rows away for that. Her fingers look cold. She takes tiny, cautious sips, and I imagine she only has really bought that tea in the hope of warming herself up. There is a chilly draught in the carriage, but I have, per usual, more clothes on than needed, so the nip in the air doesn't bother me. I would like to offer her my scarf, currently lying tangled and unused on the seat next to me. Would that be weird? In my mind, I picture her giggling and then confessing to being a little bit cold. She would ask if I want to take a seat next to her, if I don't mind traveling backwards. I don't. I visualize sitting next to the woman and looking over at the seat I just vacated, where my real body has remained. What does it look like? What do I look like? I realize I'm staring too intently at the woman and quickly divert my eyes out the window, even though she doesn't seem to have noticed anything untoward. We enter a tunnel and there is a sharp hiss rushing through the carriage. I glance fervently at her in the dark, but cannot see anything but fuzzy contours, and as we suddenly come out into broad daylight again, our eyes meet. I look away immediately. I should have known. Of course she cannot read her newspaper in a pitch-dark train carriage. A few moments pass before I dare to look over again, and this time, rather fervently and much less obvious, I study her carefully. She looks to be about my age, but could also be a few years older. Her dark hair is twisted and plaited in a discreet, slightly messy hairdo, which slides to the side when pressed against the neck rest. A warm, squishy bun of hair pressed against her neck and ear. I try to envisage what I must look like with my tousled hair, unruly as always. What does it look like from where she is sitting? The train attendant enters our carriage, and I start looking for my ticket. I have already been asked to show it once, but like to be accommodating and amenable. Can't remember when or where the woman got on, perhaps at the station we stopped at a while ago. I was most probably too busy gazing out of the window to notice her. The attendant takes a look at my ticket and carries on through the other passengers, pauses briefly next to the woman and says something that makes her laugh and answer affirmatively. My mind boggles. Might they know each other? The woman smiles as the train attendant disappears into the next carriage. Her smile is infectious, and I quickly look out the window again so as not to reveal I was eavesdropping. Several long minutes pass by. Our journey takes us down a valley, and the number of sheep decreases. I try counting them, but I feel I am dozing off. For a moment, I forgot about the woman and her newspaper. When we make a quick pit stop at the bottom of the valley, I glance over, and she is still there. No one in our carriage is making a move. I can't see much of the other passengers apart from that odd hat and the top of a few heads, all with different colors and hair qualities. On the little platform by the station, there is an elderly woman standing with a person I assume is her husband, and they are greeting a young boy, probably no more than 15 years old, as he disembarks the train. As far as I can see, no one...